Good morning. Welcome to the teleconference of results for the fourth quarter 2019 for Grupo Nutresa. At the table, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Catherine Chacron, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentations of results for the last quarter of 2019, we'll start the question and answer session. The questions that we receive through the webcast will be read verbatim. Those who have connected to the conference in English, we would appreciate it if you ask your questions using the web chat option. Or everyone who's connected to the webcast, we invite you to download the presentation in PDF. Those who ask questions, we remind you to tell your name and the organization to which you belong. To start the presentation, I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Welcome to the teleconference. Thank you for being with us. To start with, let's go to slide number 2, where we will share with you the main highlights for 2019. As you can see, during 2019, we continued moving along the achievement of the objectives, sustained growth, focused on generating value, and with our share groups. We continued with our portfolio, and we accelerated the expansion in categories and channels with high growth, taking advantages in the region and strengthening our relationships with customers and buyers and suppliers. During 2019, we had high outstanding sales with an increase in revenue of 10.5%, growing in the main operations in our region. In inorganic growth, we had two acquisitions, Cameron's Coffee in the U.S., which are added to a platform in the group and have major opportunities for growth and higher capabilities for the ESB. We created a fund to make two investments in innovation and new technologies. The first one is a company that specializes in developing high protein content products and through new technology, and the second is focused on research and understanding of the human microbiome. With respect to our sustainability practices, we were selected as number one in the global Dow Jones sustainability index based on our being our best in 9 categories in the category in the food and materiality, tax strategy, human capital development, corporate citizenship, philanthropy, operational efficiency, packaging management, water-related risks, and environmental protection. We should also remind you that we were recognized in corporate reputation and talent retainment in Colombia. With risk management, we had a year with volatility in commodities and devaluation in our major markets. By purchasing and hedging in raw materials, we protected that, and clear management of expenses to protect our corporate margins. With this view of what the year was, let's go now to slide number 3, where we'll see the sales for the fourth quarter. As you can see, in Colombia, we had sales for $1,722,300 million, with a very good business dynamic, with a sales growth of 13%, and all the businesses had positive behaviors. We continued with a good trend in volumes, with a growth of 10.1% during the period, in which the average prices increased 2.9%, mostly due to changes in the sales mix. it should point out that the growth in double-digit growth in the pasta, ice cream, and retail food. Organic sales, excluding the acquisition of Atlantic Food Service, were 1,678,500 million, increased by 10.2%, growing at 8.2% by volume and 1.8% in prices. Outside of Colombia, in international sales, we had a revenue for $303.8 million during the quarter, a growth of 8.7%. In Colombian pesos, those sales are 1,036,500 million, with a growth of 17.4%, which includes a devaluation of 7.8% vis-a-vis the same quarter in the previous year. Our organic sales growth, excluding the acquisition of Cameron's Coffee, is 1.6% in dollars and 9.7% in Colombian pesos. By business, in the bars that you can see in the graph, we reported an increase in the revenues from TF Three Montes Lucchetti, 3.9% in their functional currency. We included a 10.8% devaluation of the Chilean pesos vis-a-vis the dollar. This decreased 6.4% in dollars. The cookie business grew well, mainly driven by Colombian exports, which grew by 12.5% in dollars. In chocolate, we have the combined effect of a good commercial dynamics in Central America and Peru and lower volumes in Mexico. In the coffee business, we had organic growth of outstanding nature, 18.6%. When we include the sales of Cameron's Coffee, the increase is of 88.4%. Without retail foods, we have good positive dynamics in all the platforms with an increase of 8.3% in dollars. And in the cold cuts, we had growth of 4.3% in dollars with a recovery in exports from Colombia. Now going to slide number 4, we can see that when we combine good Colombian performance and international operations, we reported consolidated sales for the quarter of 2,758,800 million, with a growth of 14.6%, which is outstanding. When we exclude the acquisition of Cameron's Coffee and Atlantic Food Service, our growth is equally important, 10%, the highest organic growth that we've had since the third quarter of 2015. So, as you can see, it was a very good quarter in terms, commercial terms. For this rest of the year, let's go to slide number 5. In sales in Colombia accumulated results, we had it for 2019 with a good commercial performance, both in value and in volume. In total sales, we had revenue for 6,203,800 million, with a growth of 8.1%. And as you can see, more than 80% of our sales growth in the year in Colombia is from higher volume. Outside of Colombia, in the international platforms, our revenue amount to $1,142 million, with a positive variation of 3%. Expressed in Colombian pesos, this is 3,755,000 billion, with a growth of 14.5%. Organic sales grew by 0.7% in dollars and 11.8% in Colombian pesos. During the year, we reported a positive performance in our main international operations in their functional currencies. In Chile, we had a growth in local currency of 3.2%, in spite of the fact that we consider the devaluation of the Chilean pesos in dollars, the value is negative by 5.8%. But I want to mention
that due to the events of the end of the year in Chile, our team did an excellent job. We've managed to defend our figures and maintain our sales at almost normal levels, given the changes in the change of sales in the mix in the channels, and some stresses and pressures in the short term, but have been managed properly, and we continue believing that it is a very territory with major opportunities. They're going to turbulence that we've seen before in areas like Colombia, but which will certainly improve in the future. We also highlight the exports from Colombia, $254 million, with a growth of 9.9%. In slide number 6, we can see total sales for the year. Accumulated revenue is 9.9 million pesos, Colombian pesos, with a growth of 10.5%. Excluding the acquisitions for the period, sales are 9.8 billion with a variation of 9.0% positive. This reflects a strategy that is focused on evolving our brand portfolio, sound brands, investment, and acceleration of new abilities to reach the market. I want to point out that the innovation sales represented 22.4% of total group sales. This innovation is still an important driver for the growth in Grupo Nutresa. If we now go to slide number 7, we can see the sales by region. As you can see, Colombia is the largest in sales with 62.3%. The second region in Central America with 9.2% is in the United States, and Chile is forward with a 7.5%. I want to say that if we did a pro forma year including Cameroon Coffee and Atlantic Food Service, the second geography would be the U.S. We reported specifically outstanding growth in Central America, U.S., Dominican Republic, and Peru. This geographic diversification is very important for the group, and as we mentioned in previous conferences, it is not by chance. It's the result of a planned internationalization strategy, which has been giving fruit. In the next slide, slide number 8, we want to mention you about our market exposure. We have here the results of a new method to measure in Colombia carried out by Nielsen, which shows you an expanded market overview by including new changes such as cash and carry, discounters, and direct sales. It's very important to say that these results are not comparable to the previous measurements because they have a different methodology, includes proprietary information from Grupo Nutresa. We asked Nielsen, as we had said in last year, we asked for a new way to measure us, including information that we provide directly. The largest breadth of the analysis allows us to better understand the brand's dynamic, which is at a meeting which is very dynamic, and allows us to act and manage monitoring the competitive environment in a most holistic manner. I'd like to mention significantly, Grupo Nutresa continues to be a leader in market share in mass consumption of food in Colombia, with relevant positions in all the categories where we participate, and we have a consolidated share of 55.4% during 2019. This figure is not comparable to what we saw last year. We will continue to publish every quarter these positions and this measurement every year. With respect to profitability, we'd like to tell you with, in slide number 9, some information about raw materials. On the left hand graph, we can see the commodity index for Grupo Nutresa. This average for 2019 is less than what is recorded for the previous year. This is a result of a lower reference price for oils, beef protein, coffee, and sugar. However, the local prices for some of these commodities do not necessarily follow the trend, and the rate of exchange has an impact on the final cost of imported inputs or those which are, although are they're bought locally, are indexed to the dollar. In addition, I'd like to point out that the last quarter of 2019 was a quarter where we saw sustained upward trends, mainly to raw materials such as pork, wheat, cocoa, fats, and coffee, and also because of the devaluation of some of the currency in the regions where Grupo Nutresa operates vis-a-vis the dollar. With this introduction, very good in terms of the commercial aspects and some regional comments about markets and raw materials, I will give the floor now to Jose Domingo Penagos, our CFO, who will give you more information about the company's profits. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning, everyone. Let me present the profitability with the using the slides with the EBITDA for the business and financial statements and the state of the cash and debt based on the quarter and in the accumulated figures, more general comments. First, we have all the information with and without the effect to be able to have a comparability. And before the numbers, I'd like to tell you about the equation of profitability and the pressure of the major raw materials, mostly because of the rate of exchange, very little transfer of that effect to prices. That will be a topic for conversation through the conference. A greater expense control, especially sales expenses, which are a major part of the company's expenses. Administrative expenses, we have some high percentages, but it's a single time, one-time expenses. So after that, for the entire group, let's see in individually by business how the profits were. First, for the EBITDA for the quarter, this is slide number 10. The EBITDA for the pro forma is in the lower part of the slide. For the quarter is 254,000 million pesos, a growth of 24%, margin of 12.9, but without it, we're talking about 315 million pesos with a margin of 11.4% and a growth of a double-digit growth, a very good growth of 10.5%. The previous year, it decreased compared to last year margin in the same quarter last year. That is mainly due to a higher cost of some of local raw materials, in this case, mostly in the confectionery, chocolate and TM look. Good growth in, good performance in other businesses, cold cuts, coffee, retail foods, pasta, ice cream. This has very good growth in general. So let's go by business. Starting with the cold cuts, we have a very good dynamics during the quarter. Although there are some pressures on cost, mainly because of pork, due to the African pork fever, the rate of exchange, this affects imports, where it has a little bit of exports and a little presence in Panama, but mostly it is a business in Colombia, and the rate of exchange, it affects the cost. That good business dynamics, especially in the cold cuts, allows us to have very good dilution of the fixed costs and expenses, and it helps a lot to relieve the pressure exerted by raw materials. So cold cuts has a very good performance at the end of the year. In the biscuits, I always mention it in that balance between, you know, their position in Colombia and their international position allows us to have very good coverage, very good hedge. It has raw material pressures, not much on the wheat, but the effect of the dollar on the wheat. But it's about 50% of the total of this business. We have to manage very well this profit equation. In addition to the business performance, was very significant both in Colombia and in international markets. So it's a good balance with respect to the biscuit business. In the chocolate business, it's a relatively similar to the biscuits and very good sales, and we have eased a part of the pressure on raw materials. But you can see that on screen, the commodities on cocoa, there's a speculation, and it's very solid basically, but there's an increase in the price of cocoa. We have good hedging coverage levels, but this is the challenge. We have to do a little link with the current year. This will persist during the early part of 2020, and the rate of exchange is also affecting us. We have that TM look business. Let me mention the numbers. We have a margin of 10%. Carlos mentioned a good business performance. We had managed to preserve those revenue levels, but we had to invest. In addition to the cost of raw materials, we had to invest so those to have those sales in the market, have them protected, and that affects our profits. We'll see the average for the year. We defended that in the quarter, especially we had some of those pressures. In the coffee business, we have good business dynamics, both locally and internationally. We also have here the acquisition of Cameron's. We have that all these effects contribute to a growth of 85% of the EBITDA. But without that, we grow about 80%. Good margin. So this is doing very well according to our expectations, both in revenue and in profit levels. But we also have very good performance, improved gradually throughout the year. And we maintain good results for the period, especially in the last quarter. Retail foods. We have to do not only that because of the numbers, but because of the consistency of them. We have to place an emphasis, a very good trend, very positive trend in EBITDA. This is a 25% EBITDA or 17.7%. It grows at 7.16% during the quarter. Let's say, and for the accumulated, this is very interesting growth rates. And this is the result of all the press that we've been sharing throughout the previous conferences, not only in Colombia, but also in the various platforms. This is business with good international business. We have presence in Dominican Republic, Costa Rica. And lastly, in Colombia, we have part of the rate of the profits and revenue. We had also very good zone strategy results in each of these categories where we have a presence to this business unit. We have very good productivity plans, a strict control of expenses. It's a very well-balanced situation. We have some plans that we installed 30 years ago that we begin to see the results now and for the quarter and for the accumulated figures. Ice cream also has good margin, 13%, good revenue levels. We mentioned also here we have reached break-even. We have a very good dilution of the fixed expenses, good business dynamics, which is seen in the middle part of the P&L. We have a good part, 14%, very good dynamics in Colombia, very sustained, and this helps a lot with sales, and ease the rate of exchange on the raw materials, which is in the creep. This is the general overview for each business for the quarter. A little more details in the effects, because in general, it affects the accumulated figures, which we have the results here in slide 11. EBITDA for the entire year of 1,347,000,000. Good growth, 19%, and with a margin of 13.5, or without the effect of the new events, new standards, 6.2% and 12% in margin. I will not go into details here, but the topics are the same, but I like to highlight the good growth business of retail foods, pastas, coffee, ice cream, and biscuits. We have good, very good performances, very good, very high, outstanding results. Now let's go to the statement of results for the quarter, which is in slide 12. With and without the new international financial information standards. After 2020, we will continue having the presentations with and without the new standards, but we will be placing more emphasis on the results with it. And this 2018 is the one that we're going by. It's a permanent rule. For the entire group, the EBITDA, or at least the difference between is about 150 point base points, and for a consumer food, which leases are part of the cost, is close to 10 points, but we're going to migrate without losing comparability to focus more on the international financial information systems, the standards. This is a period during which, due to the accounting closing, we just some adjustments in accounts, which like taxes, which create some non-typical results. We'll go by account by account. And the important here is through this set of accounts is not only comparability, but also to explain throughout these figures why some of these changes take place. So the traditional block, which is operating and post-operating. In the operating block, we have the growth in revenue. Yeah, we already detailed that in the commercial part, 14.6%. Good performance and the impact on cost. You see that grow 17% with the effect of the evaluation here. The devaluation, the average TRM for the quarter compared to the in 2018 is 7.8%. We ended with an average rate of exchange of 8,111 pesos per dollar compared to 3,164 from the previous year. And if we remember that close to 60%, that's the statistic, 60% of our costs are indexed to the dollar. So 60% of that item is close to 8% only because of the effect of rate of exchange that decreases our gross margin of 120 base points. It's not the same calculation for the entire year. I would say that's why I introduced an extraordinary quarter. This organization is an organization which the last quarter it gives an idea of what the next year is going to be. But in this case, we have some pressure. Our response is to handle the average coverage or our raw materials during our commodities, committees, and positions. This is the variable that most affects our profits. Expenses are very well controlled. In administrative expenses, there was a high percentage, 33.6%, but there was like building blocks because we have two or three groups of blocks which are single time expenses. The first is the acquisitions. You remember we had two acquisitions during the year, mostly which affected the expenses for the end of the year. That 33.6% without those expenses would be about 21%. And if we subtract also some one-time expenses because of the launch of some technology platforms, the implementation of SAP and new geography, fees for consultants for some negotiations we had during the year, which affected the expenses at the end of the year, it would be 9.9%. That is, the pro forma for the administrative expenses grew by 10% structurally, and all these expenses lead to a 33%. More details so that you can have the idea with a pro forma and not with a single-time expenses. We should point out the savings in sales expenses. This is the major block of expenses, and we would be implementing some productivity plans. We have the results here. We have a significant time savings in sales expenses. They're growing at 10.9% now. They're 28% now. It's a good news. We have a major part where we have productivity plans in place which are going to show the results. In the rate of exchange difference, we have a movement in revenue for 20,300 million pesos, which although for the size of the group, they're not big and have a change in classification compared to the way we reported it in the previous period. So as of now, as of this quarter and to the future, we're going to reflect the effect of our foreign exchange positions, which affect our operations, our hedging positions changing. We see this as an example. When we put them here, they're more visible, and we will show when they have some profits and when they don't show profits. We also have operating expenses of around 4,000 million pesos, but those are compensations and sponsorships mainly. All of this has the effect of operating profits of 42,000 million pesos, double-digit growth, 4.6%, and also EBITDA is also 10.6%. In the post-operating section, we have fewer changes, but we also have some issues that have to do with acquisitions and the rate of exchanges that I'm going to mention. First, the financial revenue. Good growth as a result of the field position. It's a cash position. It's a very good cash position during the year. Our business is not financial. The result of the operations improved our financial revenue, financial expenses. We had slight growth, but we had the new debt as a result of the purchases that we had mentioned, but with a very competitive cost, which is 5.93%. I'll tell you a little bit more about the debt structure. But anything below 6% is good news. We also have differences in non-operating expenses, 11,900 million pesos. This reflects the exchange rate of effect on some foreign operations. It's a very small amount, but we don't usually give much detail. When we have the result of our associated companies, we have a couple of associates to which we're helping grow, and that is where we have a loss of 600 million Colombian pesos. And lastly, the current income tax, we have a major growth, 114%. The first thing is to tell you the current and the deferred income state taxes. When we separate that, we have growth in the current taxes and decrease in the deferred taxes. We have to keep that side on the net. On 2018, compared to the current taxes, we had several deductions which took place one time, so they have an impact on the basis because of the amortization of some brands. Therefore, that tax bracket is going to go down. And also, this year we have fewer deductions. Again, some deductions that we traded as discounts. The tax reform has a decrease in the theoretical basis for the income, but a new balance compared to the deductions. And it has our effect, our rate, an integrated tax rate. In discontinued operations, we have those operations that we mentioned, one in the north coast of Colombia and another one in the U.S., which are some part of our productivity plans. We ended the semester with 100 million pesos. The structure of accounts, which are applicable to the year. Slide number 13, an initial reference to the revenue close to 10 billion pesos, double-digit growth. Gross margin, as I said earlier, the total effect for the year, everything I've said about rate of exchange and hedging, due to a degree of 80 basis points. In administrative expenses, 11.6%, very similar to the level of growth of the revenue. In expenses, we have productivity, 70.8 basis points throughout the year to that EBITDA of 196 million pesos. In operating expenses, we have the same, both revenue and our financial positions. The financial expenses have been highly controlled. In taxes also, we have to reinforce those accounts that I mentioned earlier. If you look at the net growth of taxes, both current and deferred, is 8%, very much in line with the growth of operating profits. There are no effects throughout the year. The net profit of the year of 106,000 million pesos with a growth of 0.2%. I'll finish this section with the information that we have on slide 14. We could call it a cash and return situation for the group. First, the net debt, 2.7 billion pesos, mostly in local currencies. Very, very low, almost nil exposure to the dollar because what we have in dollars is because they are operations in dollars, so there's no exposure. It's debt which is mainly variable. Average rate is 5.93%. We had 6.3%. It's been going down. We also had a decrease in duration. Previously, it was 4 years with some tranches in some cases, like in Cameroon. With a production of free cash flow for 600,000 Colombian pesos, this is a cash that is 1.2 times the profits. Very good cash situation. Return, the ROI was 9.3% for the end of the period. All of this, even with the acquisition of Cameroon, and the indicator I mentioned earlier is 2.28% of the net debt to EBITDA, applying our cash and for the year is going to be 2.2 times. The message is that we're giving two acquisitions, 460,000 million pesos Colombia. We had the same debt level in practically we financed with internal funds. Lastly, the CapEx. I usually tell you about the CapEx budget for the year we're starting is 346,000 million Colombian pesos for the CapEx for the entire group with a combination between maintenance and growth. We're growing mostly by volume. We have some important ways that we want to fund, and that is why we are naming a CapEx of that size for this year for the Colombia and for overseas. This is the end of the financial summary. I'll give you the floor to Carlos Ignacio, who will talk to us about the outlook for the rest of the year and then the Q&A.
Thank you, José Domingo. I'll be glad to share with you how we look or how we see the commercial progress and developments for the next few months in the group. First, commercially in Colombia, when you look at the reports issued by organizations that analyze expenses, consumption, we found that although confidence indicators have not increased, such as the, for example, the development index, those who analyze the expenses, the consumption, household consumption, do have a positive trend. Specifically, We read a short time ago the report from Fanalco where they said that consumption in businesses in January is one of the best in the last several years in Colombia. And on Radar, which is an entity that measures actual household expenses, also shows positive figures. We believe that we will continue to have good dynamics. When you look at the sources of growth in Colombia in the previous year, we have things like increase in the real salary happened last year. This year, again, we see an increase in the remittances. With this rate of exchange, this is an additional factor that drives consumption. And topics that depend on the companies, like channel development, innovation that I mentioned earlier in my presentation, the brand strength, and I would summarize that as good marketing. So these factors that we have there are still at play so that we can have good business dynamics in Colombia. Outside of Colombia, we believe that we have good business dynamics, although in Chile we're doing a change in the sales mix. We're called foods and fewer less pleasure or we still sell them, but we are selling them less. And there's a clear differentiation between them in the channel mix. So we must say also that we hope that rates of exchange will continue to be volatile. I would summarize my commercial outlook as good dynamics. With respect to profits, I would say that since last quarter of 2019, we've seen pressures in terms of input costs. That will continue volatility in the rate of exchange, and we're going to have, no doubt, higher activities in prices. We had announced that. We started to do that. It's a year where we are going to have more price activity without losing sight of the fact that one of the major strengths in Grupo Nutresa is by knowing the local aspects, be careful, you know, make sure that the products are where they should be, have a chance to go there, that they should get there as frequently as they should, and that they can have, they're within the consumer's reach, make them affordable. We're going to be changing prices without forgetting those important factors. That combination of steps will allow us to have a return higher than the cost of capital. That is the report that I would have for the outlook for the rest of the year, and I'll give the floor to Catherine so that we can go to our Q&A. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We'll now start the question and answer session. Let us remind you that those who are through the English audio, you can ask your questions through the web chat. Now we don't have any questions through the webcast. Hilda has the floor, so we can start with a Q&A from our Spanish line. Thank you for your attention. Those who have any questions, please push star 1 in your phone. If you're using a speakerphone, pick up your headpiece or your handpiece before you push star and 1 in your phone. We have Jairo Agudelo from Bancolombia. Go ahead, please. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions about financial results. First, can you tell us how this 2020 started with the coronavirus, the impact on raw materials? How do you see that behavior in the company's coverage? How have you seen the performance of that variable on the results of the company for the start of the year? And the second question is about the expected profitability to the IFRS 16. You have shown that without the IFR and with So do you have any new metrics for the EBITDA margin between 12 and 14 that you had before, but now based on the new application of the IFRS 16, do you think that you will change that EBITDA margin to give us some more information? Thank you for being with us, and I will be glad to talk to you about the first question, and Jose Domingo will answer the second one. The first is the coronavirus. The actual problem we are dealing with is the mankind. It's a disease that affects especially the airways, and this is especially acute in people who have some prior condition or the elderly. This is why one of the steps while we develop and test some sort of vaccine is quarantine. And the first effect this has had has been businesses that have a lot to do with direct personal contact, have a high content of traveling and physical presence. Businesses, major events have been canceled around the world because there are some limitations to the flows of people between countries. In practice, Grupo Nutresa, the raw materials on average, the raw materials that we use are locally sourced. Although we do source from things from China, I would say that it's very little. It's not significant that within the mix of inputs for Grupo Nutresa. We have been affected to the extent that we have to take the precautions for people who receive, who provide technical assistance, or who provide some sort of machinery or input, but immediate effects and directly effects, it's very little. What do we have? The volatility of those markets, and when we affect the raw materials or rate of exchange, things like cocoa, which has been very, very volatile, have not to do with coronavirus. It's more related in the case of the cocoa to a decision from Ivory Coast in Ghana of wanting to receive an additional premium to the cost to the producer, which has had a reaction in the markets going almost $500 increase in the last 4 or 5 months. There are other areas where we do have some reactions. I would say topics such as what's happening with the price of pork. We are having two effects. The effect of the disease. China was one of the major consumers of pork, but the strategy that we have of combining our hedge for future operations with physical inventories when it's convenient, it becomes even more current. And what we're going to do is then double your efforts to manage this risk. We haven't had so far any commercial effects like that. We have had decreased sales because of coronavirus. We have rescheduled some business trips, but we've worked virtually, and we rescheduled the visits from some technicians who come from Asia to some of the areas we have production operations, but without significantly affecting the operations. I'd say that this introduces volatility, but since we mostly source locally in each country, this effect is manageable. Obviously, every day we can follow the evolution of this coronavirus, and should there be any topics that we need different actions, we will act differently. About the second question, Jose Domingo will answer. I don't. Although it is true, this is very simple. I said something about the effect on the group is 1.5% in the consumer foods. I think you could have very simple accounts about a new minimum. Since the effect of these accounting standards, the quantities weren't changed, the basics were not changed. changed. It's a matter of classification that you can handle administratively, so you can have some small changes in the EBITDA. But I'd like to emphasize this. We've been migrating towards the manage of returns and cash flow, so you report the way you manage. This is new management system for the group, and the emphasis is in the return on invested capital and on the cash flow that we produce for shareholders and paying the debt. This is a simple procedure, but they are always reflected in some returns, in lower cost of capital and better cash flows. Thank you very much. With Catherine Ortiz from Corredores de Vivienda. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your presentation. I have several questions. The first one is the operation of TM Look. Do you expect to, because of the impact of the outlook for growth, is your expectation to have much similar to what happened in the fourth quarter of 2019, and can we have a recovery in this line of business? And with respect to the previous behaviors, the second question has to do with the CAPEX guideline. Right, what do you have for 2020? And I'd like to understand a bit whether in retail foods we should continue to look at relevant investments like the ones that you have made to drive that business line, and also about the growth for last year in this business line. I'd like to understand better whether you can give us some data about organic growth or consumer mix, or at least the number of stores that we increased compared to previous year. And lastly, about the repurchase of shares, can you tell us a bit about that? Do you have any plans to, at least a preliminary plan to rebuy or repurchase shares? And how would you do that? And from the company's point of view, is the decision about adding value, how did you get to that number of 300,000 million? Because if you look at the company's leverage, we have very broad, a lot of room for to maneuver. So do you have those plans for organic and inorganic expansion? Do you think it's more difficult to do it inorganically, and that's why we could see some additional plans to those that we are addressing? Those are my questions. Thank you very much. Thank you, Catherine, for being with us. Let's go at this together. First, I'd like to refer to the topic of Tresmontes located in Chile. We remind you that what we're reporting here is that in the midst of this protest that we had, and some scenes that I wouldn't call them protest, but rather vandalism, because there was that too, none of the company's facilities was affected, fortunately. Obviously, everybody's life in Chile had difficulties, but from the point of view of the company's equity, the company's assets, we did not have any direct effects. What we did have in Chile with respect to mass consumption was a large number of situations affected in the modern channel, the supermarket. And when we were used to talking about larger services, major supermarkets, that we sold more than 70% mass consumption sales, that share by the channels has changed a lot. Now it could be around 50%
close to 50%, depending on the categories. So what's happened is that the smaller stores, the supermarkets or small self-service, which are not large chains, and even the participation between them has varied, and the cost of serving them is different. The other thing that's happened is that since the I mentioned earlier, sales of basic food sales have increased, and logistics have become more challenging because the number of routes that we have to serve, the speed to which we have to supply them because of precautions, some of retailers have to change their times to open the stores and receive the goods. So it's a different environment. But these companies and this is a company headquartered in Colombia, have developed some abilities for those more turbulent environments. And thanks to that, our sales figures, I would say, have been, have been defended very well, with a short-term effect on profits. We think it's going to be a year with increased growth in Chile. We're not going to go to negative figures over there. We don't give you a guideline, but we do think that it's going to be growth for the country. That everybody thought that Chile didn't wound up in a recession. There's a lot of challenges, and it's a very special year for the future in Chile. But it's also true that there are people working and trying to be ingenious about that situation and find solutions. What we believe is that it's going to be a year, positive commercial results, more challenging in terms of profits, but that's why we spoke about the importance of having a regional portfolio, although we have a different presence and will allow us to have companies like Globo Total will have a year with returns higher than the cost of capital. Changing the sales mix, change in the channels, logistics challenges, but we see that in the positive sense. We do not think we're going to go into the negative figures, and we're working on that. And I'd like to mention that in the midst of all these difficulties, one of the most important factors has been the team's commitment, people, the quality of the people, and the fact that every one of them is aware of what they have to do to have this company in their country be successful. Catalina, can give you a little more context? So 346,000 million pesos for the group. I'd like you to have a combination of maintenance and growth. Especially in growth, we invested in new production capabilities. We know that we have very sound processes. We have innovations that require that we adapt those plants. And in the channels, in new channels, we have consistently invested over the past few years. That is not anything new for this year. We have a significant part of that this year to strengthen our new channels, which are changing our growth. So you wanted to a little bit more color about that. This is a combination. It's not only opening, but also a remodeling. Remodeling works really well. When we open, we have the stores both in Colombia and in the region that I mentioned earlier, about 842 stores that we have in total. That's public knowledge. And these 842 stores have grown very little. We do have important improvements is in the number of transactions. Now, it's the same stores. Remodelings operate very well. In growth, we will not tell you the percentage, but it's our one single-digit growth. But renewing a store is like opening
It's like opening a store with much less capex. Oh, and that is a good comment. With respect to the repurchase of shares, when we invite to the next assembly, there's an item which is a project to repurchase shares. First of all, this is a legal fact of the corporate law in which a company which is traded in the stock exchange can work against its own shares. This is much common. Legislation in Colombia has included that. It's one of the mechanisms that you have to return capital to the shareholders, because when we repurchase these shares, when they're in the hands of the company, lose their right to vote and economic rights. This has an effect because the shares that are left remaining are the ones that represent the company ownership. About the effects that could have on the price of the shares, we don't say about that because that is defined by the market. There's a logic, but we don't speak. The market determines that. And the specific question of where did that number come from? Actually, what we did was something that is pretty responsible in our case. Grupo Nutresa has profits, has a very good flow. The proposal would represent 1/6 of the free cash flow available. So this project does not imply sacrificing other alternatives, such as dividend distribution. We want it to be good and growing. It doesn't affect our capex. It doesn't affect any possible acquisitions. So the fact that this is a limitation, we don't see that. If it turned out to be very, very good and we have a possibility in other assemblies to show you new projects, and if we shareholders would be deemed convenient, we don't think that there's going to be any problem. And one more thing, if the assembly approves this project for repurchasing shares, the company is not obligated to buy them. They have the possibility of doing it if the conditions, favorable conditions, occur. It's just simply an idea that adds some capabilities, some additional tools to Nutresa to be able to continue producing value for its shareholders. That's what I could tell you now for the moment. I think this is a very good alternative to complement others that the company already has. So I think that give you answers for Tresmontes capex and repurchasing sales. Thank you for your answers. Carlos Rodriguez from Ultra C5. Thank you, Carolina Sanchez Domingo. Thank you for your conference and your presentation. Three questions. One is a follow-up of what Catherine was asking about repurchasing shares. Do you have any estimates of how that could affect the ROI in the medium term? And is that going to be current with the debt, or that could be a mix with the cash flow from current operations? The second question would be, what do you see the consolidated profit for Nutresa during the 2020? I will refer to the EBITDA margin outside of the disease stage, which is very likely that we can see margins in the middle or higher middle range for that 2020. And my third question is about a news amount of Expo Y. Can you tell us the expectations of what do you have for that share in the Emirates? About repurchasing shares, we mentioned that already. It's a project that we would be using the company's cash prudently, and it doesn't have any major impact on returns as a result of the operation. The invested capital in the company can be, pardon me, the same, it would be more impactful on other market issues, but not necessarily on the quantification of return of capital invested. With respect to margins, our commitment is to the returns, and obviously the returns mean better margins. We have all included some of our productivity plans, which are going to improve as an improved margin. We'll continue with these productivity plans throughout 2020. The variable that you mentioned, increasing vis-a-vis the prices, we have those raw material prices, which might be a little unbalanced, and we will try to have the, with or without this, that are appropriate to create better returns on invested capital. And that's been an idea of the company for several years, and has been improving year to year. Carlos, I'd like to tell you a bit about the show. It's one of the most important ones in the world. In our case, what Grupo Ultrasan did was an alliance with ProColombia. ProColombia is the country's export promotion agency. It's been said that one of the most necessary things for a country to grow is to export more, especially exports that are non-traditional. We, in the past, have done some business with the Arab Emirates, especially in the area of coffee, and more recently in cold cuts, where we're trying to go with the cold cuts with some added value. What we think specifically is that they're very good opportunities, biscuits, coffee, and cold cuts. And then don't look at it as purely local. This is a point that connects two worlds, because in the middle of Asia and Africa, and there's a lot of visitors. This is a country which is not very large in terms of population, but has an extremely high per capita income. And there are important investment funds. There are shareholders in many companies, Colombia, including Grupo Nutresa. I think this is an important activity for Grupo Nutresa and will help us continue to grow. I want to point to something that we didn't say that in the presentation. In the year 2019, the export of Grupo Nutresa from Colombia grew at 9.9% in terms of dollars. I think this is very important to, within that, the ones that went to the States, they grew 19.9% in dollars. We had much better if we hadn't had that open mouth disease that we had. So there's an opportunity to do much more in terms of exports from Colombia, and this there is part of that package of what we do, which I call is good marketing. We have to know how to produce, how to open markets, develop them, establish contacts, and get to other geographies where we have a lot of opportunities. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your answers. We have Daniel Duarte from Coffee Colombiana. Thank you very much for your presentation. I have three questions. And the first one has to do with CapEx, and do you think you're going to be making any acquisitions? Or would you finance it through debt or due to the company's leverage in the low cost of money? Or would you rather focus in Colombia or look for other markets? I'd like to know a little more about the financial instruments that you have used in Nutresa to manage and cover your cash flow vis-a-vis the dollar and your coverage in commodities. My last question is, do you have a legal stability agreement? About CapEx, projects, 46,000 million pesos, that manager doesn't take into consideration M&A activities. The numbers is very difficult to predict. It doesn't mean that we are not going to have any mergers and acquisitions. We're constantly looking for inorganic operations. When we, I think it's prudent when we have something firm, we'll let the market know. But this is an ongoing activity by this group to grow. We don't base growth mostly on the organic, but we're doing it. Initially, we have 346,000 million pesos in cash because we have inventories, and then you can have any activities of significance will report it to you. We have an important item in commodities, and we have growth for commodities and hedges installed in the group. We have a very important natural coverage or hedge. But for that, we have both in cash in one by one, but in the rate of exchange. The natural coverage or hedging for our rate of exchange, both in financial markets, and we have physical coverage, physical protection. Those, when we have opportunity, we've covered it with physical inventories, and we have it when the market has other opportunities, we will have more financial coverage, also looking for the same profitability. And we have stability contracts or agreements. We've been commenting that over the past few years. We have that right now. Companies like Noel and Nacional de Chocolate Senú and Molina Santa Marta have a long duration to 2029. So some agreements will run out, and we have the effect of a couple of contracts that ended last year, but we still have very good contracts that allow us to have stability in that effective rate of taxes in the long term. Thank you very much. We have Joana Castro from Itaú. Yes, Joana. Good morning. I have one question that has to do with the buyback program. Because you're sitting in the board of Grupo Zura and vice versa. And because the two announcements were almost simultaneous, I want to understand why it was that timing. Does that have anything to do with what is the reason why those boards have taken the same decision with the same amount in the same term? Yes, I'll be glad to. First of all, although we, as you say, we are sitting the chairman of Grupo Sur, member of the Grupo Nutresa, and I'm in Sudamericana, the discussion are in-depth, and they're completely separate and independent. And although there is a, it's a coincidence that that the figure will be the same, it represents different percentages of the total number of shares in each company, and I would say that simply it's just there are thesis that we see them at the same time, but each board is independent, and the approval or their discussion in the assembly is going to be totally independent as well. It is true that there are market conditions, the share market share conditions that are weighed by different actors, but it doesn't have to be the same figure, or we're not going to be doing that necessarily in specific sequences. In fact, the trend in shares in Colombia is very different. It's very different, and the type of shares that each company has is different. What happened in the meeting of the board of directors was a discussion of the conditions of a legal framework, of whether it was convenient or not, whether it's possible to do it or not with the resources that we have in the company, and the board of directors decided to include that in the agenda and have that for discussion and approval or not by the shareholders. But the fact that the figure is the same is mere coincidence. Thank you for being with us. We have Daniel Guardiola from... Good morning. I also have a question, a follow-up about the buyback program and about the reasoning behind that buyback. And why did you go through the buyback instead of distributing dividends? Did you have in mind the impact of these dividends on the liquidity of Nutresa? And do you think that could you do that, the buyback for those conditions, if the conditions are favorable? What would be those favorable conditions? What price or whatever? And my second question is about the cost structure. We have several quarters saying that this cost structure, especially sales expenses, are growing below the growth of sales, organic growth. And I'd like to understand a bit about how sensitive or how fast can you decrease the costs as long as we see growth in volume. How easy to dilute our fixed expenses? Thank you, Daniel. First of all, thank you for being with us. And let me go to your question about the buyback project. Grupo Nutresa, the Assembly of Shareholders, historically has decided that a significant part of the profits from its period has been between 30% and 50% historically should be used to reserves for future investment and the rest for sharing dividends, which usually grow above the IPC, the Consumer Price Index, every year. And that has allowed the company to have positive evolution in the finances, and the company has been able to finance the organic and inorganic growth with very good results. As I said earlier, the figure of 300,000 million pesos every year, it's 100 million a year, it's about 1/6 of the free cash flow. It's something moderate. So if you figure those 300,000 pesos, what percentage of the shares of Grupo Nutresa they represent is between 2 and 3% if you take today's figure. So it's a program. It's an interesting, but as I said earlier, it's an additional tool to manage Grupo Nutresa. And the reason by the board is the fact that if we have market conditions, the shareholders can buy them. That's one. The other thing is about the effect on liquidity. It's also very clear to should remember that when a company buys back shares, I was saying that those shares go to the company's treasury and are there to be able to use them. Nobody say that you do buyback to cancel them all. No, the company could perfectly use that for the various areas that the law allows. Resell them, use them as part of payment, for example. In an acquisition, they can keep them some time and release them gradually. And in that respect, that liquidity area has been highly studied, and that is why the amount is what it is, because we're not going for 20 or 30. This is allows us that when we have those conditions, the board of directors can approve, because this is these projects are not autonomous for the administration. Those acquisitions must be approved by the board of directors. So I think there is a tool that, as I said earlier, is used in a lot of markets around the world, less frequently in the Colombian market, but I think it's one of those tools that allows us, together with others, help dynamize things so that shareholders can benefit. The second question is about the dilution of the volumes. The volumes
try to or attempt to dilute the fixed cost as long as the other variables have a good performance. That is, the volume by themselves are not dilution factors. Last year, for example, we had very good volumes. The effect on prices remained almost stable. The only difference was this rate of exchange. We didn't transfer that effect of FX on to the market, and that has a very big impact, which is margin. We have a good gross margin, enough to work more with the sales expense. Like, you only keep the profitability equation stable throughout the returns. So although they do not dilute by themselves, and didn't happen last year because of the effect of the rate of exchange, and today we're more active in that pricing activity, and that would probably help us with our expenses, and we'll still recover the operating and the gross margins. Can I ask one more question? You said when you spoke about 2020, you expect profits for the company to be above the cost of capital. Yes, well, the ROI and ROI, I don't know. But how much do you expect profits to increase in 2020? How do you see those, that spread between profitability and cost of capital? Our objective initially was to recover the cost of capital. This year we achieved that. If you look at the analysis, when the web goes up or when it goes down, like we already got that first effect going back to 2019. When we have the same productivity plans, control of prices, very good judicious working capital management, but we have a very general idea because we don't give a specific guidance, but we evaluate the abilities that we have based on the returns of each variable. We're very committed so that we can, although, you know, so that these can improve the cost of capital and not to reduce a few base points. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. I'll give you the floor to Catherine Chacon for final comments. I think that this is the end of our teleconference of results for the fourth quarter of the year. Thank you, everyone, for your participation, and would like to remind you that the contact line with the investor relations department is going to be available for your questions and other comments. Good day to all. Happy week. Thank you for your participation in this event. You can now disconnect.